You're listening to Pirate Cat Radio, KPCR LP 92.9 FM Los Gatos, and KMRT LP 101.9 FM Santa Cruz. Tony Duchesne here, and welcome to Drinks with Tony. Coming up on the show, we have Fadi Zaghmat. His book is called The Man of Middling Height. And after his segment, I have another segment that's a new segment.
What?
Yeah. Wow. Cool. The segment's called The Novel Approach. And I'm doing books that I'm reading now and books that I like. And this week we're going to focus on Italian authors. So stay tuned for that and enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Fadi Zaghmat, and you are listening to Drinks with Tony. Get on the Drinks with Tony show. Yeah. I'm ready.
All right. We're all ready. All right. You're listening to Drinks with Tony. I'm your host, Tony Duchesne. Today on the show, we have Fadi Zaghmat. His book is called The Man of Middling Height. Fadi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Tony?
I'm good. Tell me how I screwed up your name. I feel like I screwed it up. Did I do okay?
Yeah, you said it almost correctly. It's Fadi Zaghmat.
Zaghmat. It's a great name. And my mouth has a hard time saying it because I'm not used to it.
No, you're doing well.
Thank you. Oh, shucks. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And you're coming at us from Amman right now. So you're about how many hours ahead? We are 10 a.m. here in Los Angeles as we tape.
Yes, here 8 p.m. So almost 10 hours between us.
Wow. What is it like tomorrow? Or what is it like tonight over there?
What's that?
Wait, what is it like in Amman right now?
It's summer.
Okay.
It is summer. Summer is so beautiful in Amman. Although now these days it's the hottest. We had a hot wave, so it is the hottest week in this year. So temperature is around 37, 38 during the day.
Oh, that's up there.
Yes. And today, I don't know, it's usually not like this, but today we had sandstorm as well. So it was dusty, hot, and a little bit humid.
What do you do in those situations? Do you mostly just hide out of the outside until night kind of thing?
Well, not really, because I mean, if you use your car, so there is AC in the car, at home there is AC. So I went to visit mom this morning. We had breakfast at hers, and then I came back, cleaned the house. So it was a mellow day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's release week for your book in the United States.
It is a release week for my book. Yes, the Man of Middling Height. And I also have a book launch event tomorrow for an Arabic book. My sixth novel, it's the third in a science fiction trilogy that I just finished. So I have a book launch tomorrow as well, here in Amman.
Wow, that's fantastic.
After tomorrow, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Are any of the science fiction books available in English?
Yes, it is. The first one is Heaven on Earth. It's the first book in the trilogy, and it's out in English. And now we will have a new print by Rebel Satori. Have you heard about them? Rebel Satori in New Orleans. Okay. So, yes, it will come out as a new print. Yeah. It was first released in 2017 by Signal 8 Press, but now it will be with a new publisher.
Very cool. I love that you get to inhabit both worlds. I mean, the Arabic speaking world for novels has to be huge for the reading public. I mean, is it about the same as English, where there are as many readers, or maybe even more?
Well, I mean, the population of the Arabic world is huge. And then you have different countries, and so it's different dynamics than the English speaking world. Probably English speakers, of course, there are more people who speak English than those who speak Arabic, but also the Arabic speakers are big population. Yes. And
Right.
I usually write, I write in Arabic actually, and then I get translated to English. And I got translated to English, French, and Italian for now.
Oh, very cool. And when you get translated to like Italian and French, do you go to those countries to do any publicity as well, or?
Yes, in France I did. Italy I haven't yet, but in France I'm going. Actually, I just got invited to go to Nantes for a science fiction festival, Les Utopiales, in October, end of October. So
So cool.
hopefully I will be there. And then I also got invited to Festival of Author in Toronto to do the launch for The Man of Medling High. So I will do that after my trip to North. I'm so
Oh,
excited
fantastic
about
news. Will you find your way to Los Angeles at all, or?
Maybe I would love to. So
Yeah.
I will see, because I will be in North America. So I will see if there are any opportunities, any
Yeah.
speak, any events that I can do in the US. So maybe I will.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's such a long flight. How are you as a flyer? Are you a nervous flyer, or do you get on a plane? Or are you totally relaxed?
Well, I'm not a nervous flyer, but I'm also not totally relaxed. So I'm not a big fan of flying, but I don't mind it as well.
Yeah.
But just in terms of that, because I get tired sometimes, not all the time, but that's it. I wish if I fly business class, then it's okay. I don't mind. I'd
Oh, see,
enjoy
I've never flown business class. And
it.
from what I understand, once you've flown business class, it's hard to go back. It's hard to go back. Is that true?
Well, I only had it once. I did it once or twice in my life.
Uh-huh.
And then, but you have to go back. What to do? It's very expensive.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's and I'm scared.
Why
I'm scared. I'm scared if anyone even goes, "Hey, let's upgrade you for free." I'm like, "I don't want to know." 'Cause if I know what's
not?
on the other side of the curtain, if and then all of a sudden there's a new status quo for me, and it hurts to go back to my old status.
If you get used to it, but I haven't got used to
Oh, okay, yeah. So there's so
it
if you do it once in a while, then it's like eating
yet.
it's eating a big sugary dessert. And then
Exactly.
you go on back and you're like, okay, I'll have my thimble of Jello, what like I'm used
Yes,
to.
I'll just manage. I'll manage this flight. It's fine. I'll be fine.
Yeah. No, I hate flying, but I also it's funny how the human mind, 'cause what I try to do, 'cause like you remember where the places you go, and you have such visceral memories of being on the ground. And I try to conjure up the monotony of like a 10-hour flight. And it's kind of like a lot of the brain doesn't remember it. I just remember portions because I can't sleep on planes. So I'll be on a long flight, but I'm like, and I'm on the flight and I'm awake the whole time. And I'm just trying to like make sure I relax and I watch Seinfeld and I watch the most stupidest shows just to that have like nothing to say, just so I could slightly giggle. And I want no more conflict, I watch things without any conflict. And then all of a sudden, and then we're on the ground. And when I'm there, it feels like forever. But when I try to bring the memory back of it, I never get the true sensation until I'm back on a plane. I don't know if it's the same for you. It's almost like my brain is protecting me from the realism of hurling through space and time.
I think so. I agree with you. I was actually in the US in April, and also I had two long flights, one from Dubai to Amsterdam, and then I stayed there for 4 hours, and then from Amsterdam to Atlanta, I think it was 10 hours flight, and then from Atlanta I took another flight to Alabama, Birmingham. So I almost died, like no.
It just it turns into like a surreal thing. And then at the same time, we complain about it and we think about how did people get across the ocean 100 or 150 years ago?
True. But you know, Tony, what I feel when I am on such long flight, I feel relaxed because like you don't have any other responsibility. So you know, like it's like 20 hours for you. You just for you to relax and enjoy yourself.
Right.
Like just fly.
Yeah. To just hit the call button and go, I would like another Bloody Mary, please.
Exactly. No responsibility. I don't have to do any work. Just sit in my seat and wait to arrive.
I'm the idiot who always goes, oh, good, I can get some work done on this flight. I can never work on a plane. I just can't do it. There's my brain needs to be in like just in nothing mode. These people
True,
who work
true.
on planes, I'm sitting there going, I wish I could be you. That's productive.
It's productive. No, it's not time for production.
Yeah. Oh, I'll just edit my latest draft of my novel on this transatlantic flight. And I'm just like, better person than me, man.
Over to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Could I have some more Cheez-Its or whatever gross snacks that they have on? When we were talking about the man of middling height, this is what the kids would call speculative fiction, right?
I think so, correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably this is how you can describe it.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm learning that as I get my second book ready to go. I'm just like, oh, wait, because the marketing people want to put it in a certain, oh, we need a
Category.
category. Yeah. And
Yeah,
so
correct. Correct.
when
True.
does, do you know when it changes from speculative to sci-fi? Do you know what the boundary is?
I don't actually know, but probably I think science fiction is under speculative fiction is broader than science fiction, it's
Yeah.
correct. I don't know if I'm mistaken. So it's broader. And sometimes when I think about science fiction, it's more about if it has it's built upon like scientific facts or something like that. I don't know. How do you understand the difference
I don't
between both?
know. I think when the publisher goes, we want to make sure this goes in the fiction section and not in the science fiction section. And then, so people who veer toward literary fiction will also enjoy a speculative fiction book, but they may not want to go too far into a universe that's too different. But at the same time, speculative fiction is a completely different universe too. So I'm still trying to
True.
figure it out myself. Yeah.
True. And usually science fiction is set in the future, right? Most
Is
of the
it?
science
Yeah,
fiction
okay. Yeah,
work.
yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so.
So this one probably why I don't think it might be science fiction, but it's more speculative fiction because it's not in the future, but it's also like a parallel world, like different timeline, different world
Yeah.
altogether. So it's not in the future.
I tell my students, I actually this like last week, because I teach screenwriting too, and I tell them every single story you tell, think of it as science fiction. Even if it's contemporary, even if it's now, you're world building. You're world building
Interesting.
if you're writing about August 2025 Los Angeles, remember you're building a world. So think of everything as science fiction. And
Yes.
so you put the world in play because you're building a small world of what is the vast expanse of the world of stories, essentially.
Wow, interesting. Interesting perspective.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be a bad perspective. I don't know. I'm still playing with it. Yeah.
No. I can see your point. Yes.
What comes up for you first? Do you work on the character or do you work on the world building or is it different for each book?
This is what usually it's different, of course, for each book, but usually I have a concept that I want to explore. So in this case, I wanted it came out of my work, like being a gender activist, writing about sexual freedoms and body rights, and trying to explain gender to the mainstream people through my work, through my literature. So I got to a point where I understand the complexity of gender. So I understand that people don't differentiate or find it hard to differentiate between gender as a social construct and biological sex. So male and females versus man and woman. And then I studied feminist theory, and I understood that gender is a set of attributes built on one biological attribute. And this is how we create different types of people, men and women, in our society. So I was thinking maybe what would happen if we imagine if gender or these types of people like developed historically differently, and if we divided this set of attributes based on other biological attributes, not sex. So I was thinking maybe how. And this is where the idea of this book came to me. And I thought, okay, let me explore it. And this is how I started to develop the idea. I started writing it. And then it became clearer and clearer as I was trying. To capture all to this new parallel world.
That was my internet glitch right there. What did you say on the last sentence?
Oh yeah, I was saying that I was trying. Like I started writing this and aspects of gender into this new world, and this is how the story.
Oh, got it. I love the idea of prejudice by height, because I once in a while, when I'm like, I should probably be in a relationship, so I go online dating, right? And
yes,
and the last time I do it for about a week, and then I realize that humanity is a disgusting beast, and I don't want to be anywhere around online dating. But I'm on online dating, I forgot to put my height on
okay,
the profile.
and everyone's
The
wants to
amount
know
of
that.
questions immediately was just, how tall are you? And
Yes.
because from the women's point of view, they want a tall man. For the most part,
Yeah.
I'm being very generalized,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
let's just say 99.9% of the time.
Yeah.
And I'm 6 foot. But you know what I
Yes.
did? I just went delete block. I'm like, you know what? I probably am your height, but if that's how you're going to approach me, then we're not compatible, because I'm not asking you how fat are you.
Yeah, but Tony, I have to say, like exploring this world and thinking about it, we are attracted to different heights as well. So our main attraction, we think that the main attraction is towards gender, like either, and this is how we identify ourselves. But also, we are attracted to different heights. We are attracted to different races. We are attracted to different bodies. But we don't build identities around it. But it's important. Like if you are, like if someone is attracted to, like to a woman, like tall and short woman, then this is like by height attraction. Like, and people are different. You know, people are different.
That is so interesting, because even on these dating apps, which remind me that humanity is a disgusting beast, and I just need to talk to my therapist about that, because that's me. That's my perception, and that's the problem. But
what we need.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well,
I
on
wanted
these
to
dating
say.
apps, they ask you your preferential height, and like I'm sitting there going 4'11" to 6 foot, because I'm fine. I'm just like, just be someone that I can connect with. And I've dated short women, and I dated women who are taller than me. And so it's just, and I'm okay on the spectrum. Can we just like, can we connect? That's so, so would that be, I guess I would be height. What do the kids say?
Queer.
Queer. I'm a height queer. I got it. I love it. Perfect. I'm using that. Very cool.
Yeah, it's funny how we add labels to everything and how we try to categorize people based on all
Right.
of different attitudes.
I interrupted what you were going to say.
I was about to say at that moment is that maybe we just won't need to realize that everyone is different. Like people are different, and we
Yeah.
have different preferences, all kind of preferences and attributes. Because you know, Tony, we are made of thousands and thousands of attributes, and these attributes come, every single one of them comes in spectrum. So it's a wide range. So, and they don't come divided per gender as they taught us that it doesn't come this way. So every individual is different.
Yeah. But for the most part, women drive me crazy because I'm attracted to them. So it's just like I wish I could be queer on that level because then I'd be like, oh, the world has opened up and I understand a male's brain and this would be so much easier. Just, ah, I try and I try and I just can't, you know. Preferences,
You
right?
just didn't find the right woman for you.
Yeah. And I'm not doing it. And I'm not making my case at all right now. Like, there's real life swiping left. Those listening to this show, they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, that guy, I thought he was interesting for a second, but absolutely not. If I ever meet him in person, no. So,
Stay away.
yeah.
No,
That's.
you will find the right one. I'm sure of that. She's out there listening to you now.
Right. I'll meet her in the
And
nursing home when both of us have fake teeth. And I'll be like, you know what? Let's just have unsafe
No.
sex because it's almost
There
over.
is a woman. There is a woman now listening to you and saying, "Oh, this guy is so cool. I'm go gonna meet him and change his mind about women."
Yes.
This is
Yeah.
how it will
It's so
happen.
funny because I feel like I was thinking about that the other day where it's just like, oh, I would get along with her if blank and blank. And then I'm like, wait, I'm trying to change her in my head already. And then I'm like, but I know she's trying to change me because I think it's an innate human thing that we want the per it, there's no perfect, but wait, it's like,
No
oh,
one is perfect.
only this. And at the same time, I think there's a beauty to being in a relationship because there is that push and pull of,
Of
you
course.
know, hey dude, you could think of this a different way. And it's just like, oh, you're right. There's that humility of like, oh wait, I'm the jerk. And I have that epiphany way too much. And I'm like, oh,
True.
it's me. It's me. Oh.
It's always an opportunity for people to grow when they are in a relationship, like
Yeah.
learn from the other person. Yeah,
Yeah.
true.
Anyway, but I have no answers for that, and all my questions have never been this. So you have two books coming out in two congregating to two huge populations, two sides of the world, which is fantastic. I love that. And
Thank you.
what do you work on when you have all these? Are you working on something now?
Well, yes. So now I'm writing also another, not a book, but it's a collection of short stories, science fiction short stories, just exploring how technology will change our lives in the near future. Like, yeah, some like satirical, like some light short stories.
When
Yeah.
when did do you, is with English as your is I don't know if English is your second language or your 19th language, but what like you speak it very well. It sounds like you're fluent, but when did you learn English?
Well, I learned English at school here in
Okay.
Amman. So I went to a private school and I started learning English when I was in kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
So, and yeah, and then I studied here in Jordan University. I did my bachelor's in computer science, and I think the teach I the teaching was in English. And then I did my master's in UK. I did the master's in creative writing and critical thinking. So, yeah. Well, I'm still not so fluent, but I manage.
Yeah, you're managing as well, if not better than me. I always tell people, I'm really sorry. English is my first language, and I'm not good at it. I like those tests where they go, are you a B1 or a B2? Oh, you must be a C1. I'm like, no, let's go back to B1 in English. Just keep me there. I'm conversational.
This is the issue even sometimes when I do Arabic interviews. And the thing in Arabic, because you have the formal language and then you have the dialect. And then speaking, we don't usually talk the formal language. So it's difficult, as if you are talking another language when you talk in the formal, the Fusha.
Right.
So this is also always a dilemma when I'm doing interviews in Arabic as well. Like I try to speak the way I usually speak, so it's not very formal. Mm-hmm. So, but there's always that challenge, yeah.
I would think after an English interview, do you go? Does your brain kind of get more tired?
Not really. No.
Okay.
No, not really. Yeah.
It might get, if you were switching back and forth, maybe it would.
Maybe yes. Yeah.
What other languages do you know?
Only these two, and
okay. Those are huge. I would love to know Arabic. Like I was looking on your website and I was like, oh my God, I wish I could read Arabic, because it's just like, it would just open up a whole new world. You know, it's such a, it's an opening to communicate with a billion other people, a couple billion other people, you know?
But it's also a very difficult language to learn.
Yeah.
Like you have a totally different alphabet. The way we write in Arabic is different than English.
Yeah,
I think learning Arabic is much more, the language itself is much more complex than the English language.
Oh, really?
Yes, especially because it's also very gendered. Like when we were also translating The Man of Middling Height to English, I noticed the differences, because there is, if we talk about the idea of the book, at one point, the Arabic language is very gendered. And when I wanted to write the book, this society that is based on height, I thought that their language is also gendered per height. So they must have a different language. And then if I want to do this word, it's justice, I have to write the story in that language, which I don't know. I have no idea about what that language is. And so I got an idea at that point to do a reverse engineering and have the narrator write the story in Arabic, which is a gendered language, but then turning it into English, then we had another layer of complexity, especially when we tried to map the height-based language to sex-based language in Arabic, and then to map that in English as well.
It's got to be so when you're creating the language that's not Arabic or English for the book, it must be fun to just kind of create the rules of how these characters are going to speak.
So I did tables, so maybe I think you can find the tables at the end of the book. So I did tables, tried to map out like pronouns, like I in English, for in Arabic, we have words that ends with the ta al marbuta, which is the feminine ta. So we know a word is feminine or masculine based on the end letter. In English, we don't have that. But sometimes you have suffix or prefixes that can tell. And then you have words related to profession, like policeman, policewoman. This is how you do the gender in English. So in their word, for instance, it becomes short police or tall police
Yeah.
instead of policeman or policewoman. So I had to think about these things.
That's a lot of fun. I
Yeah.
forgot Spanish has a lot of Arabic influence to it.
I think so. I think so.
Yeah.
But I don't know much about Spanish, but yeah, I
Yeah.
heard. Yeah. Yeah.
Cuz they also have the words where you don't have to do the it's you put the ah or the o at the end, and that genders the word. And then everything's gendered. Like a table is a feminine, and the moon is
True.
a feminine, and the sun is a man.
Yes. This is the same in Arabic. It's the same. Even if you do, yeah, even if we do plurals, so it's either the masculine plurals or feminine plurals.
It's
Objects are
fascinating.
either, yeah, it's complex. It's hard. So, and probably, I don't know if this also affects the awareness of people. Probably like being born in a gender language like Arabic, it becomes even harder for people to understand gender and maybe probably make them want to stick to gender rules and rigid gender roles more than other like English speaking countries. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Yeah, I
But
don't either.
I
I
think
haven't done any
that
studies.
But I think that language all plays a role in the way we understand gender and how we build our own gender identity. You know, because the first word that they teach us when we are kids, like you're a boy, you are a girl. So it's in the language, the way we speak. This is how we our gender identities are built.
Oh yeah, and then you have like drunk grandfathers who go, "You're dumb, you're an idiot." It's just there's
That
it's yeah, it's the baggage is just huge. It's
it's of course, yeah.
they use actual other words that we can't say on the radio, but it's like, no, I was just in, right. No, I was in Portugal. And it's so interesting because, when with all these other languages, like in Spanish you say gracias, or in French you say merci, and in Portugal you say thank you by your gender. So if you're a man, you say obrigado, but if you're a woman, to say thank you say obrigada, which it just kind of like it was interesting to. That kind of turned it all. Portuguese is such a hard language. I was so confused in Portugal. I was like, I couldn't read it and get the gist. And then I'm just like at a menu, I'd just be like, that.
Yeah, but I mean, it is like the Arabic. Like if we say like Ana Joan as a male is different than Ana Joani as a female. Like
Oh,
I'm hungry
interesting.
as a Yeah, it's the same here. Yeah.
Yeah. So fascinating. So I know like Spanish, Portuguese, and all these languages are Latin based. What do they call Arabic? What is it? Just Arabic based languages? Is that how the family of languages is from?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Semitic languages, probably.
Semitic.
Semite.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Yes.
fascinating. And
True.
it's yeah, I think we're so limited in our not only our speech but also our thinking. So to truly understand what the universe is, or I'm getting esoteric here, but it's just like we're made of like stars, and there's stars out there and there's stars down here, and we're on this spinning thing that goes like this, and we're in
Yeah,
different.
this is a very interesting point. I mean, how the language we use it to identify things and to explain things and describe things, but also it opens our understanding, but also it limits it at the same time, right?
Cause,
If you
because,
don't have the, yeah, say.
well, I was just thinking, because most of the time we're probably like toddlers in this universe where it goes, dat not good, dat okay. It's just like we're kind of probably still cavemen in the sort of way where like thousands of years from now they'll be like, oh, look at the pretty novel with the caveman talk in it. You know, it's
That's true. And sometimes, sometimes I read scientific articles or like later quantum physics, for instance, or and see like how when they write the article and using the language, a certain language, and for me it doesn't make any sense. And I tried like, is it the language? Are they describing it differently? Is reality different than what they are actually describing? Because this doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know if I'm dumb or the language used is not clear enough. I don't
No, there's
know.
something to be said about that. I was talking to a professor, and he told me that he could smell when he read academic articles, he could smell the fear because they want to be right, but they also want to fit in, but they want to be right, but they also want to fit in. And there's a it's that's why he enjoys writing novels. Because there's it's less because you just open up the world. And I feel like with novels, we are expressing, even though it's fiction, there's probably more truth in it because we're expressing emotional truth through character. That's
That's
something
true.
that's hard to get in nonfiction, very hard to get in academic. You read academic journals for fun. I'm impressed because I just go, I'm like, it's all
Who said
Arabic
that?
to me.
I like to read like scientific articles just to follow up what's happening, like new discoveries. But yesterday, like I saw this post where they said that scientists were able to map, I don't know, a particle in 37 dimension, 37 dimension. And I was like, what does that mean? How? Like, what do they mean? Actually, 37 dimension. We can't even imagine that, you know?
Wait, with dimensions, how far can we go to imagine? I mean, we're three-dimensional as much as we can perceive, right? And then what is like four and five? Is that, I don't know what perception that is.
Exactly. Me neither. And how they exist in the world, like, but they talk about it scientifically as it is reality sometimes, this is reality that we don't understand. So
But it might
I don't
be
know.
too. I just found out mushrooms talk to each other under the earth,
Yes,
and
true.
it's mind blowing. And they're communicate, and even trees communicate through their roots, and they're like talking to each other. And I'm like, and they're probably talking a higher language than we're talking. They're just go, oh God, here come the hikers. They're going to talk about their stupid boyfriends. They're going to talk about how much they're not making enough money. They're going to talk about all their writing problems. It's I don't know.
The world is just fascinating.
When you were so you took when you were you you got your degree in computer science. I used to work in tech. People usually don't know that. But when you got your degree, what was Were you, did you always kind of have writing in your back pocket, or did something trigger you where you were like, wait a second, I need to get a creative writing degree?
Yeah, that's true. Because at school, I was always into math and physics. I didn't like languages and I was shy about writing anything. I didn't want to write. But then I studied computer science and I was actually working as a user interface developer for a software development house for many years. And at that point, you remember in 2006 when blogging became a thing? So blogs. And then it was a space of freedom for us because it was things were very censored here. Like if you want to publish in any news paper or write a book or it's always censored. You have to go through people who will approve it or not or reject it. And then suddenly we have the internet, and then the blogs were so popular because traditional powers at that point didn't migrate to the internet fast. So traditional newspapers were not online. Traditional column writers were not online. So we bloggers had bigger voices at that point. So, and this space, I started to write. I wanted to write about things that I didn't see. Like it was very censored before. So I wanted to write about sexual freedoms and body rights because I could see how it's affecting everyone around me. like suppression, like people can't dress the way they want, they can't love who they want, they're like the oppression of women, gender inequality, all these things that were censored before, now I can just type it on my laptop and publish it, and the world will, they will read it. So that's how I started to write on my blog. And that's how I developed my writing skills throughout the years. And then after 6 years, I wanted it to be in a novel. And I published my first novel, it was The Bride of Amman in 2012.
Wow. So when, if it's censored on the high level, when it's a blog, it was okay? Or were there people going, you better be careful because if you use your real name, that's a problem? Well, it was...
Well, yeah, but at that time, you know, because it was a new medium, so there was no regulation.
Okay.
So now the online is more regulated and more censored. So, and then by law, they can take, you know, now if you say anything that they deem offensive, they can fine you or take you to jail if you say it online. But at that time, it's still, the laws didn't cover the online. So
now,
it was more free.
Could they go back retroactively and go, hey, let's see what you did?
I hope not. Don't mention it.
I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. Yeah. You have beautiful eyes, Fadi.
Yeah, thank you.
It's so fascinating because I used to work in journalism. I worked for San Francisco Chronicle and I wrote like articles for them. And then the blogs started coming in and they asked me to write a blog and they paid me for that too. And I remember my editor going, she said, hey, by the way, at the end of the blog, can you ask a question like, what do people think about this, this, and this? And I said, no. I was like, I know, absolutely not. I sat there and I did the research on it. I did the interviews. I put this thing together. I don't want the audience to chime in. They didn't put any time into this. So no. And she's like, I'm so glad you said no, because the managing editor asked us, but we just hate asking. And I'm like, okay, fine. Anyway, and then that just went away. And all of a sudden they're like, hey, you're not doing that. Get out of here. We don't need you. The future is the audience, not the journalists. So
yeah, probably. Yeah, this is what they want. They want engagement. They want people to visit the
website. I don't want engagement. Yeah. what do you think? Yeah. I don't know what I don't want to know what you guys think, because one, you haven't written anything that I've read. You know, two, I didn't invite you on the show. We're not taking calls.
Just listen. Listen.
And by the way, get your own show if you think you're this good, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I don't feel like I'm good. I just like enjoy doing it. It's just a pleasure that I get to talk to Fadi in Amman and he gets to talk to me through outer space in Los Angeles, which this couldn't have happened 20 years ago. We would have been emailing each other.
Hi, Tony. Then after 2 days, hi, Fadi.
Right. And then 20 years before that, we would have been writing letters. So it wouldn't have been 2 days. It would have been 3 weeks. It'd be like, oh, God, he didn't answer the question. Okay. Fadi, look, here was the question, and you just avoided the answer. And then it would get to you 3 weeks later. And then you'd be like, I hate this guy. Why am I still doing this interview? And then you'd be like, I hate you, Tony. Why are you doing, you know, and you get it. So, we just have to meet in Toronto or in Amsterdam and then have a sit down.
Yeah. So true. So funny. How things are changing so fast.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
No, I look around and I'm the old man. It's just, the kids are going, I remember when I was a kid and I'd be like programming my grandparents and my parents' VCR. And I'd be like, why is it still flashing 12? You guys haven't figured this out yet? You know, I'm a 9-year-old walking out there. Okay, got it fixed. What's next? What else do you need me to do? And now the kids are like, oh, here's ChatGPT and what you could do. And I'm like, whoa, okay. I don't want to learn that, but can you do that for me?
Yeah, and things like accelerating.
Yeah.
These technologies, AI, I don't know what's going to happen in 2 years. I think we will have totally different lives.
Yeah.
In 2 years. We will be talking like in VR. Next interview between me and you will be in VR.
Yeah.
Like we are sitting next to each other and talking, we'll be
We might even
physically
be in a relationship because it'll show me all my preferences. It'll show you all your preferences. So we'll think we're somebody else, and we might be
Yeah.
blocked. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Yes.
The name of the
That's so
book
funny.
is The Man of Middling Height. His name is Fadi Zaghmaut. Did I get that right?
Huh? Yes.
Thank you so much. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony.
Well, that was fun. All right. And now on to the novel approach. I talk about four different Italian books that have blown my mind. And you know what? I'm not going to bury the lead. I'll tell you the list right now, just in case you want the recommendations immediately. The first one is Lost on Me by Veronica Raimo, and that's Raimo, and the book is called Lost on Me. Fantastic book. Another fantastic book is Last Summer in the City, Gianfranco Caligaric. That was from 1973. The third book I'm recommending is The Days of Abandonment by Elena Ferrante. She's a little more well-known amongst the authors that I am suggesting, very important to read. And the book I'm reading right now, which is blowing my mind, is called The Stronghold by Dino Buzzati. I'm always looking for books that are blowing my mind. So enjoy this segment, and I'll see you next week. Tony Duchesne here, and welcome to The Novel Approach. We're talking about Italian writers. I got four Italian writers you need to read other than Dante. First off, read Dante, The Divine Comedy. The thing about Dante is he's not an Italian writer. Did I say that? Yes, I did. Because Italy was not a united kingdom until the 1800s. He was, in fact, a Florentian from the Republic of Florence. Florence had its own thing, I think. Don't quote me on that. Now let's get to the books. First off, I'm going to tell you the book I'm reading right now, which is blowing my mind. His name is Dino Buzzati, and the book is called The Stronghold. It is blowing my mind. It's a fella who ends up it's this World War II. So he's posted at some fortress in the north that is just away from anyone, and he wants to get out of there. And because it's in the middle of nowhere. He's just with a bunch of guys on a fort in some naval base, and there's nothing going on, and there's no war going on. It's just boring. And the beauty of this book is how Dino takes us through the tedium of this and mirrors it with kind of the tedium of life, and he nails it. I was gonna read where was the part I was gonna read? Let's see, because I have so many parts that I wanted to read to you, and maybe I'll make this short. Just the way Dino drops in on setting, and the setting of the sun passing over Fortezza Bastiani is the name of the stronghold. Even that, he just brings not only the stark loneliness of our main character, but also the just the reality of what humanity is. And he keeps going over the idea of time passing, but in such a poetic way. Like, okay, so see the thickness of this book. This is like reading In Search of Lost Time. Here's some of my volumes back here. This is like reading Proust, but the Italian version in a very edited and amazing way, where Proust could have done this in 240 pages, but he didn't. He did it in 3,000. And now we're all determined in my head to finish Proust because I'm already on volume five. But my advice to you is go straight to Dino and The Stronghold. Fantastic book. Next on the list, we have, oh, I don't have the copy here. I think I gave it away. Veronica Raimo. She wrote a book called Lost on Me, also known as Niente di Vero. This book blew my mind, took my breath away often. And I read it about a year ago, so I can't get in. I gotta do these things the minute I'm doing them. And that's what I'm doing now. So here we start. Dino, our friend over there, helped me on this. But Roddy Doyle says of Lost on Me by Veronica Raimo, mothers and daughters are at the center of a lot of novels I've read this year. And Lost on Me by Italian writer Veronica Raimo is the one I enjoyed the most. It was wild, funny, and disturbing. All I ask of a book about mothers and their daughters. The Guardian says, wryly comic, a gleeful dance between truth and fiction. And here's the thing. It's all about the truth. The when I read a book, and I'm kind of psycho about this for various reasons. I'll do a different video on it later, but I just want to know that the author is not diverting from authenticity and honesty. And every book I recommend will come from this heart that just spews beautiful truth in a poetic way. And the Italians are doing it. Thank you, Italy, for holding up the what do you call it? The torch for what we want to aspire to as novelists ourselves. That is that one. What am I on? I can't remember the number now. Yeah, you try to say this. Gianfranco Caligark. Caligark? What's CH in Italiano? It's K, right? K. Last Summer in the City. Beautiful. Another beautiful book, just heartfelt, translated into English. And it's his only book translated into English. This is like a cult classic, 1973. And it's this amazing book of this dude just bopping around Rome in I believe it was in August. And all his like rich friends are like off and gone. And he's just like kind of a literary doofus of sorts, but that's the wrong word for it. Come si dice doofus in Italiano? Je ne sais pas. But it's just it's him bopping around Rome, finding if I having an affair, and but the affair is really not working. Like nothing's working, but it's so poetic, it's so from the heart, and it's just one of those books. Like all these books, if you're a novelist, you have to read these books because these books just are, these books tell me what I need to do to up my game as a novelist. That's why I love reading novels all the time because this is, it just still blows my mind. This is the only book by him. He just bounces around from Rome. He's in a total like alcoholic haze for most of it. And there is a it's it, there's a it's just, I'm gonna compare it to Tropic of Cancer, but just a very like a light comparison because it shares the same wandering around. How do you say in English? Wandering, but it's like the point of view of an Italian in Rome. And when we dive into the Italian narrative, there's a heart that's just a little different there. And there's just beauty to it. This is why I love the Italian writers. If you have any Italian writers that are kind of on the same page as what I'm talking about, please tell me them in the comments because I want to get into more of these books. And of course, let me talk about our fourth book, which is Elena Ferrante's Days of Abandonment. And this book is more utter truth. This is what the New Yorker says about it, because I haven't read it in a while, and I was like kind of going through my books. I was like, oh my God, of course. It's a blunt, excruciatingly blunt novel. Olga, a middle-aged wife and mother, is plunged into a breakdown after her husband leaves her for a younger woman. And it just dives into her, like she expresses this act through obscenity and violence, neglects her children, her day-to-day responsibility, obsesses over what her husband and her lover might be doing, rage, self-pity, and just the guts of like truth. I've been at the other side of a almost long marriage where it's just like I didn't have kids, but wow, it's really utter truth of what the kind of what a divorce narrative is. And I love this part though, what the New Yorker says is Ferrante knows when to let up, and the redemptive note struck by the ending is a welcome reprieve. It's crafted, and it pulls no punches. That's Days of Abandonment. By Elena Ferrante. Thanks for watching. These are the Italian novels. You have any recommendations on Italian writers that I need to examine beyond these? Please write them in the comments because I'm always on the search for great storytelling and great novels. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time on The Novel Approach.
You're listening to Pirate Cat Radio, KPCR-LP 92.9 FM Los Gatos, and KMRT-LP 101.9 FM Santa Cruz.